and more, but we get it underway this hour by welcoming back to the program a gentleman who's been making great music, well, for more than 50 years now. Earlier this year, he released his 20th album. Let's listen to a little bit of the title cut.
Consider your high station. Think about your fame. All of your creation depending on your fame. Ain't no doubt about it. Flesh can set the tone. But when you get down to the rhythm, man, you get right down to the bone.
The album is called All About the Bones. You can hear that and more from his great catalog. Chris Smither will be here in Maine at the Waldo Theater on November 16th at 7:30. And we're so happy to welcome Chris back to the show. Good afternoon, sir. Nice to have you back with us.
Good afternoon, Rich. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? I mean, that's a funny question to ask most people today, but...
Yeah, I guess there's some people that are happy.
Yeah, I just don't know many of them.
Yeah, right.
I got to tell you, when I got the CD, I went to put it in. I was getting to go driving up to Orono, so I knew I'd be able to hear it a couple times through on the way up and back. Yeah. I went to put the CD in. I realized there was a CD in there. I pushed it, and out came Happier Blue.
You're on the right track.
I was on the right track, but what I really remembered as I was doing that was I remembered the first time I ever saw you play, more than 50 years ago, in Syracuse on a bill with Tom Rush, and I don't remember much about the other parts of it because it was a long time ago, but I think of all the great records that you've made, all the great albums you've made, this might be, for me, one that'll really stick for a long time. It's so introspective. It's so imaginative. It's so full of deep thoughts. I'm thinking this is not a record you could have written 50 years ago.
I think you're right about that. In fact, I think in some ways it's not a record I could have written 6 months ago. I actually came out 6 months ago. But I tell you, it was tough. This one was a hard fight getting it out. I normally start working on stuff. I think to myself, okay, I want a record in 9 months, and so I'm going to start right now. And usually, that's the normal gestation period for writing the tunes. And I wasn't getting anywhere on it. By the time 9 months were up, I had one song finished. But fortunately, I've been working for like 25 years with David Goodrich, and Goody, he's like a catalyst for me. He just flew up from Austin, and he says, "Come on," he says, "we're going to spend some time together." And he's like one of these guys for me that when he walks in the room, everything changes. Everybody needs somebody like that.
Well, and he's more than just a producer, too, because he's playing several instruments on the album, yeah. And obviously there to steer you in a way that he knows is going to result in the best music possible.
Yeah, and he knows me really well, and I know him, and there's a mutual trust thing that goes on, and all of a sudden it just started to happen. And in fact, all the tunes except for one were written within about a four or five month period.
One of the things that really struck me about this, and it's true whenever you cover somebody, I always say, boy, that's a great cover. I think of Killing the Blues, and I think of you covering Chuck Berry and things that just made it really great. You took Eliza Gilkinson's tune and did something really magical with it, and I haven't figured out exactly what it is yet. But I'm listening and I'm thinking, that sounds like another song. I wonder when Chris didn't write that one, right? That the album is so well blended as a total organic whole. I mean, I sound like some rock guy, but that you must have had part of that vision too. That can't just be the producer.
No, it was a mutual thing. I tell you the truth, when we went into the studio, we walked into the studio, we started to work, and 5 days later it was done.
Wow.
And it was just one of these things where you know, the people working on it came in and they just did what they do, you know, and, you know, we picked them pretty well.
Yeah.
Betty Sue doing the vocal harmonies, you know, she just, most of those are first takes, you know, she would just go in and do it. And Chris Cheek on saxophone, I mean, that was a last minute addition.
Oh, the sax is great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Chris Cheek is probably one of the three best saxophone players in the jazz world. And you know, about a week before we went in, you know, Goody calls me up and he said, "Chris, how would you like to have one of the three best jazz saxophone players in the world on your record?" And I said, "Let's try it."
Yeah.
But he came in and just laid it down. I mean, he killed us. You know, it was amazing. And a beautiful cat. And it was just really, the whole thing was very organic. Most of it was recorded, you know, a lot of it was recorded live. There's very little overdub vocal on my part. I think one song, and everything else is me playing live with Zach Trujano on percussion, you know, and it was, and then we would add a few little things, but, you know, there's very little. The Eliza song was just, I mean, I've been a huge admirer of hers for years.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a not-so-secret crush on her for about 20 years, I think. But I did that song, and I was on tenterhooks before she heard it, you know, and then she wrote me the nicest letter back about how much she liked the cover, and so all around, you know, I felt pretty good about this effort, you know, and I'm glad you like it. I mean, you seem to like it for all the reasons that I do, so that's good enough for me.
We're talking with Chris Smither here on Downtown. Well, I've been listening to the album for about a week since we got it and love it. But when I got up this morning, I knew exactly what song I had to listen to first because the opening lyrics, it's hard to give instructions to a fool for self-destruction.
Digging the hole. Well, you know, yeah. We'll see what happens. You know. I just don't want to be in the hole with him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The guys I want to be in a foxhole with, that ain't one of them.
Right.
There are two songs on the album that really spoke to me, probably because of my academic background and the things that I've studied most of my life. But In the Bardo and If Not for the Devil are really, I mean, you've written a lot of great songs, and I have. You know, many, I have them, right? But those two hit a real note with me in that I don't think we have enough what I would call mature songwriters at the moment. We have a lot of people that are great, and I'm not suggesting they aren't. But those are songs that come from a place where someone's been doing some thinking. They haven't just, you know.
The In the Bardo one was that's a very interesting song, you know. I've often said that the songs, when I'm writing songs, most of the time I'm halfway through the song before I have any idea what it's about. You know, I'm sort of scribbling things down and thinking, where is this going? And gradually it becomes clear to me about what it's about. But in this one, I had a whole page of lyrics written and I had no idea where I was. I didn't have anything about it, and then I was just lost, and I looked at it and I said, I think I'll just call this one Smither in the Bardo. And then as soon as I thought that, I thought, that's what it is, it's the Bardo. And of course, as soon as I had that thought, then I could start organizing it a little bit better, you know, and make it clearer. But it's interesting that you picked that one. I'm particularly fond of that one myself, so it's very nice to hear you say nice things about it.
Well,
and If Not for the Devil, that one that started as a train of thought that I've been entertaining since I was about 7 or 8 years old.
<You know? laughs>
What is the actual relationship between God and the devil, and why can't they get along?
Yeah. Does Tom Waits say it's not the devil, just God when he's drunk? But
yeah, that. Right.
But I think in the Bardo, the section that really blew me away, I mean, it sounded like the end of Joyce's The Dead. It's hard to say now. The forms are disappearing, out of sight and out of hearing, out of mind. Mind no longer minded, vision ever blinded, ever old. I got to tell you, that's Yeatsian, that's Joycean, that's great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Now you're going to be at the Waldorf Theater soon. Have you played there before?
I have, but I can't remember when. I know I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there, but I can't remember when.
Great place. I can't go, unfortunately, because I have something else that I have to do, but I wanted to go because I wanted to see the Motivators. I wanted to see the band and what's going to be different than me seeing Chris tapping his feet and playing his blue guitar.
It's going to be fun. It'll be like the record because it's the same people that are on the record, except for Chris. We don't have the saxophonist, but the rest of them are. I've discovered I play solo so much that I've discovered that my fans are always a little bit nervous about going to a show where I'm playing with a band, you know, because they don't know what they're going to get. They're going to, oh, am I going to like this? And every time they like it, I've never played a show with the band where where people didn't come up to me and say, we were really scared, but this was a great show.
What do you do, Chris, to keep in such great voice after all these years?
Just keep singing. You know, it's I don't really probably think about singing as much as I should. I've learned a few tricks. I've never taken any vocal lessons or vocal instruction or you know, had anybody teach me how to take care of my voice. But I've just learned over the years there are certain things, you know, that I can do and certain things I can't do. It gets hard for me singing more than three nights in a row.
Yeah,
I've discovered that after three nights, it's better if I take a rest. I don't always get that rest, but you know, it's a good thing. And also, I don't sing as hard as I used to. I've learned how to, I think, take advantage of amplification without having to strain myself quite so much.
Well, I am.
I learned how to think about it as well. Thinking about singing. I used to think about guitar playing all the time, and to me, singing was just something that sort of came naturally. And then I learned that, you know, you have to practice that almost the same way that you do guitar. You know, you got to make sure you exercise the top range and the bottom range, and you know, singing scales helps.
Yep.
Well, the album is great. It is. It's the music of somebody who's done some living, and we love
8 years worth.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hoping for a whole lot more, and looking forward to the show November 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Waldo Theater. Chris Smither and the Motivators. Chris, thank you for continuing to make great music, and thanks as always for coming back and visiting with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we'll see you again soon.
All right, buddy.
Best to Carol.
Yeah, I will.
That's Chris Smither with us here on Downtown. And boy, the album, again, called All About the Bones, absolutely terrific.